Second book of Timothy, in the second chapter, we're picking up where we left off last week in verse 14. In 61, I thought we'd have 50 today. You all just amazed me. Isn't God great? Amen. Keep reminding God's people them before God against quarreling about words. It is of no value. It not only ruins those who listen, and it only ruins those who listen. Do your best to present yourselves to God as one approved worker who does not need to be ashamed, who correctly handles the word of truth. Dear Lord, there are so many words flying around our world today, our country, our state, our city. And many of them, Father, are hurtful words, harmful words, lying words, distracting words, all coming from their father, the devil. Let us, Lord, be ever mindful that we must have good discretion and back up what we hear from people on the truth that comes from Christ and his writers and the apostles. Bless our nation, our country and our local area, our congregation and our friends and families. We pray a quick passage of this virus. And let us learn that your power oversees all diseases and all the works of the devil. Be with our missionaries, our military, our first responders, those who work in the hospitals and the doctor's offices, those who give us care. Bless them and keep them well. Father, be with our children that they're out of school now, that they may learn and grow and be healthy and safe. Protect us as your servants. Be with the speaker today, I pray in Christ's name. Amen. Keep reminding God's people of these things. Years ago, there was a radio talking woman by the name of Dr. Laura. And she said, every time you want to keep something in your mind, put a rubber band around your wrist. And when you start to remember something, you'll look down and say, there's a rubber band on my wrist. What's it doing there? Oh, yeah, I'm supposed to be doing this. Now, some of you, they tie a string. Remember, tie the string around your finger? Sure, you usually spend more time looking why I have a string on my finger than I do what I was supposed to be doing. But I keep notes. I make notes. I keep checklists. I mark them off because I'm 68 years old, and my memory's full. And if I didn't have you all and my wife, Rebecca, to remind me of stuff, a lot of it would probably not get done. But he says, keep reminding. I think we need to remind each other how great God's love is. And because of that, we'll serve him. Keep reminding God's people of these things. What are these things? The love of Christ and the admonition to work and serve him. We cannot get that far away. We get too far away, we forget. Now, I know that none of you here fall in this category, but some of us are ball fans. Were. And they're talking about, well, they're going to pick up the baseball in a month, or the basketball in another month, or 6 weeks, and all these type of things. These guys are not going to be ready to do that. They're going to forget what they were doing. Their body's going to be out of shape, out of condition. The muscle memory is going to go away unless they practice every day. It's the same thing in Christianity. If we're not practicing God's love to others as he gave it to us through Jesus, we will absolutely forget, or it will not become a second nature, an automatic for us. And that's what it has to be. I've quoted before, but I'm going to do it again today because I think it's apropos. The first Karate Kid. Remember the wax on and the wax off? He didn't need his car polished, but he didn't need to touch that till the kid, little Ralph Macchio or whatever his name was, that when somebody's striking at you, you wax them off. You put it away. And we do things over and over and over. We get used to it. And it's good for us. And it becomes automatic. When you see something good, something impressive. Last night's sunset, I had to give you a thank you God for that one. Because it was just tremendous. And it wasn't snow. And they're getting some of that up north. So we need to be appreciative. And we learn to be appreciative. Share that with others. We need to compliment other people. We so often take things for granted that we forget that it's a special favor that a lot of people do for us. Oh, they may be getting paid for it, but they're going out of their way for us. And we need to thank them. And we need to share that love. And then sometimes we need to be the giver as well. Because Christ gave us so much, why should we not return it to others in need? Keep reminding people of that. Empathy. Warn them before God against quarreling about words. Now, if you have to be warned about something, that probably means there's a problem, would you not say? Can you? I don't drink coffee. I don't drink coffee. But I understand that on the side of the McDonald's cup, it says, warning, the contents may be hot. Well, no telling. Isn't coffee supposed to be hot? But they have to remind people. Now, the one it does get me is on the little package, the little cardboard box you get with the apple pie. Warning, contents may be hot. They don't tell you the outside can be cool, but that apple-y stuff in the middle, it's still hot. And it will burn the roof of your mouth. And we have to be warned about that. So you have a drink, drinking apple pie, right back and forth, you cool it down, everybody's happy. Or if you're smart, you buy. Hope she didn't have the sound system on back there. Listen to me. If you're smart, you buy an apple pie, and then you get a sundae. Dip, dip. It's wonderful that way. At Alamo right in the car as you're driving down the road. Quarreling is no good. Arguing about words doesn't work. What's it about the putting lipstick on a pig? Waste your time, the pig don't like it either. Sometimes we just want to get in fusses with people that serves no purpose whatsoever. It's a waste of time. It has no value. It only ruins those who listen. Sometimes it's better, what the old timers say, it's better to keep quiet and let them think you're stupid than open your mouth and prove it. Yeah, we need to learn that at times. Do your best to present yourself to God as one approved. Now, I don't see this happening. That every time we go through church or every time we do something, God puts an approved sign on our, you like those rubber stamps that paid. Well, maybe God is doing that, though, Because if we believe in Christ and have accepted Christ, have confessed Christ, if we're baptized into Christ, then we really are paid in full. The sins are redeemed. They have gone away from us. So we really are approved. And hopefully, without a rubber stamp on your head, but maybe a little twinkle in your eyes or a smile on your face or the kindness of the words, that others can tell we have been approved by him. And that's what Paul, to me, is urging Timothy to do. Present yourself as one approved, a worker who does not need to be ashamed, who correctly handles the word of truth. Ladies, I hope, and I'm knowing the ladies here, I'm sure this has never happened. But I know if some people said, those TV cooking shows, don't you love those cooking shows on TV? And they'll walk up and they say, hands up. And somebody walks, this is not your best work. And I've seen a couple times they go, get it out. Terrible stuff. Sometimes we need to say, I didn't do that very well. What can I do better? How can I get over that? How can I help others? Approved by God. We've been given the talent. Use that talent the best that we can. At times we may say, I don't think I can do this, Lord. One of the two answers are, well, I think you can. Or I'm going to send you some help that you can do it with others. Giving up because it looks difficult. Can you imagine? I can't. Can you imagine Mr. and Mrs. Noah and them three boys and their three good wives on that boat for a long, long time? You think those people on those cruises that have been locked up for their 14 days of sequestration think that, all of a sudden that cruise from being a lot of fun to being, I'm in jail on a cruise boat. How do you think Noah and them felt? Months and months and months, door locked. One little peephole in there, feeding and taking care of them animals. But they didn't give up. Either they were good believers or they didn't think they could tread water that long. I'm not sure what it was. and it needs to be done. We should pray for our hospital workers, for the recovery people. Those have to go out and pick them up from a car wreck or from sick and transform, not knowing if they may have that virus on them. For the doctors and nurses to take them, for the people that taught their kids in school that doesn't know which one of those kids may have the virus on them. We should pray for those people who work for us, because they're doing the Lord's work there too, making our life a lot better. Don't be ashamed. Handle the word of truth. What is the word of truth? Now, if he said words of truth, I could go to you for another 2 hours. Probably glad of that. Word of truth. Let me give you the word of truth. Jesus. Handle everything you know about Jesus properly. Speak of where he came from, descendant of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Speak of where he was born. Talk about the little town of Bethlehem. Speak of his early ministry. Speak of those 3.5 years that he traveled and taught and showed through example what God expects of us. Speak of that horrible night. Good Friday, we call it. We don't know why. Speak of that. Speak of the trial that was illegal, immoral, unrighteous. Speak of the terrible things that he went through with not only the Pharisees and the Sadducees, but also Pilate and the Romans. Speak of that beating that he took. Speak of that walk up the Via Della Rosa where he carried his own cross as long as he could physically do it. Speak of being laid upon that cross and hands and feet nailed to it. Speak of hanging above heaven and earth, belonging to neither one. Speak of, Father, forgive them, for they know what to do, what they're doing. Speak of, Father, into your hands I commit my soul, my spirit. Speak of the empty tomb on that third day. When up from the ground he arose like a mighty victor over his foes. That's what we speak of. With our words, with our action, with our companionship, with our camaraderie, with our concern about others. That's what I believe Paul is telling Timothy. Handle the word of truth. Avoid godless chatter, because those who indulge in it will become more and more ungodly. Gossip. False statements. Cursing and improper words, dirty words, you may want to call them if you wish. Watch how we speak. It shows whom we are. The book is actually entitled Pygmalion. We know the story is My Fair Lady. Was it Julie Andrews that was in it? She was it Lisa Doolittle? Was that her name? And he taught her the way to walk, and he taught her the way to talk, and all these kind of things. But when she spoke out of her own words, everybody could tell she was still from inner city London. The words we use, the way we present ourselves, how we react under stress and pressure, that shows what kind of person we are. And our relationship with God, when the pressure was on, Jesus did not turn and rebuke his own people. He encouraged them, told them to serve. Avoid godless chatter. Their teaching was spread like gangrene. Gangrene killed my uncle when he was 16, an infection from a burst appendix, ate his insides up. Gangrene goes. A lot of the amputations we have today is from gangrene, often from diabetes in the foot. And words affects bodies with gangrene and eats them up and destroy their lives and their souls. Among them are Irenaeus and Phileas, who have departed from the truth. They said the resurrection has already taken place, and they destroy the faith of some. You see, not everyone loved the teachings of Peter and Paul and James, the brother of Jesus, half brother of Jesus, and John. They disagreed. And they were greedy, because the only thing they could do is disrupt the teaching of the men, show that they were wrong or say that they were wrong, and try to change people's minds, lead them in a different direction. Did you ever like something real well until somebody said something bad about them? And you You went the other direction. There used to be ball players that you would love. Baseball was bad about it because they changed teams so often. I just loved Pete Rose until he went to Philadelphia. Then he went to Montreal, and I didn't like either one of those teams. Then he came back to Cincinnati, and I just loved him again. He just couldn't control gambling, I guess. We can change our minds, can't we, about people when we hear different things. We should be the kind of people that there's not different things to talk about. People will know us by who we are and what we do and how steady we need to be. These men said there is no more resurrection. It's already happened. That we're in heaven as good as it's going to be. That the saints are all taken out. And people got very discouraged. In the movie with James Stewart, It's a Wonderful Life. Remember when the word got out that Jimmy Stewart didn't have money in the bank, the savings and loan to cover the bills, and everybody came with their money right away, and it was just a panic until somebody turned the picture on them. And they began to say, oh, let me put more money in. We need to be strong when someone comes against us, even if we know we've got the truth. Never doubt what God says, what Jesus lived for, what the apostles taught us. Never doubt it whatsoever. They destroy the faith of some. Nevertheless, God's solid foundation stands firm, sealed in his inscription. Do you ever go up to a building, CBS, a concrete block building, or some type of building, and you see a little crack line that go up and down, and you can see where the blocks have fallen along? Well, that's caused because the corner didn't have a strong foundation, and it settled. Maybe a quarter inch, maybe a half inch, but there began to be a gap develop because it was not built on a solid. And boys, that can happen down here a lot with all the sand we've got. Compaction, all that has to work. But it begins to separate because it wasn't built on a firm foundation. There are many churches today that are built on personalities. Come to so-and-so's church. They have good music. Come to so-and-so's church. They got a beautiful building. Come to this building or that building. Go there. The choir is wonderful. On and on and on. Churches have come and gone in our lifetime. Big, sometimes big and massive. Because the lesson that they taught wasn't on the foundation of Jesus Christ. Church's one foundation is Jesus Christ the Lord. That's what we're taught. And if we value our salvation, we've got to find the foundation where it's strong and build our life on that. And it comes from nowhere but Jesus. So be strong. Know where your roots are. Grow well. The Lord knows those who are his, and everyone who confesses the name of the Lord must turn away from wickedness. You can't be halfway there. You can't be sort of in love with God and sort of in love with Satan. You've got to be 100%. Because if you're 99% for God and 1% for Satan, Satan will work on you until he takes over. We need to be very careful about that. And folks, I'm not going to tell you that we're not in trying times. Matter of fact, I think we are in trying times. What's most of the news? They forgot about politics. They talked about the virus this, the virus that, the flu that, the Spanish flu, and on. It's taken over, and we're worried about it. And we should be very cautious and care about it. But if we, whether God takes us out by the rapture, the flu, a car wreck, a heart attack, whatever, one of these days, our life on this earth is ended. What about the next one? Jeff, you touched my heart today, and I was crying. I wasn't even reading it. Never apologize for being emotional. I'm sorry. Should never apologize for being that touching and that emotional because it means you're suffering the loss with them. But that little girl knew about Jesus. And that's got to be the one comfort for her family, is that Jesus knew about her. So we should be strong in our faith, in our foundation. In a large house, there are articles not only of gold and silver, but also of wood and clay. Some are of special purposes and some are of common use. Common means the word vulgar comes to the Latin word vulgate, which means that which is common. So some of these things are vulgar, They're common. It's not anything holy or special. Those who cleanse themselves from the latter will be instruments for special purposes, made holy and useful to the master, prepared to do any good work. You got to get the worldly things out of our mind before we can do the heavenly things for God. Anything that's holding us back, any burden that stands between us and full service to Jesus, will give Satan something to put in our way to win the battle. Flee the evil desires of youth and pursue righteousness, that of serving God. I think he's put a little comma there, of youth and also of senior age. There are times as we grow older, sometimes things seem to be okay that we wouldn't have liked or thought was important when we were young. A little more discrimination about it. Flee the evil desires of youth. Pursue righteousness, faith, love among those who call the Lord out of a pure heart. Have you ever met somebody just, you were impressed, they just seemed to be kind and loving and sharing and caring? May have been a school teacher. May have been a kind of neighbor, may have been a grandparent, hopefully your parents as well. But a pure heart. Blessed are those who are pure in heart, Jesus said on the Sermon on the Mount. He looked for our heart, what we meant by it. Because you can be all pretty on the outside and vile and evil on the inside. Don't have anything to do with foolish and stupid arguments, because you know they produce quarrels. Do you know anybody that just likes to argue? I'm serious. The answer is yes on this side. They met somebody just likes to argue. If you say today's Sunday, say, well, it may not be Sunday in Japan. It may already be Monday over there. That's the other side of the international date line. But just find something to dislike. Apple pie is good. No, I think I like key lime better. I mean, just for the point of argumentation, that's whether it's a game or what, they want to keep things stirred up. Stay away from that. Nothing good, especially within the congregation. Nothing good comes on that. There are some that think you should have split bench seats. No back so you can't get relaxed. Others think you need padded cushion chairs like they have in movie theaters so you can relax and kick back. I've seen some churches, they want to let you bring in latte and fluffy stuff. I don't know anything about coffee. Frothy stuff. Help me, somebody. Put that whippy cream on it. Foam. Nobody gets that stuff, do you? Y'all doing that Kroger's coffee, aren't you? I mean, a Publix. Those kind of arguments, that's no good. Those kind of arguments are no good. Blue carpet versus brown carpet versus red carpet, those things just get in the way. We've got to put Jesus first. We've got to put our friends and relatives first. We've got to put God's people first. We've got to put the lost first before we insist on what we think should be done. Now, if it's of the Bible, that's fine. That's not an argument. That's an absolute, and we'll go with it that way. But if it's of personal opinion, let it go. The Lord's servant must not be quarrelsome, must be kind to everyone, able to teach, not resentful. That's a pretty good way to be. You like people like that. Opponents must be gently instructed in the hope that God will grant them repentance, leading them to the knowledge of the truth, and they will come to their senses. Come to your senses. Wake up. Get smart. Come to their senses. Escape from the trap of the devil who has taken them captive to do his will. You see, the devil's at war with us. It started with Adam and Eve. And as we come down through the generations, even through people like David and Solomon, it was there. The devil's been the adversary, the chief adversary. And we are constantly in battle with him today. I personally believe, that the devil put obstacles in our way anyway. I don't doubt that a lot of our illnesses are created by him to test us, to trip us, to stop us, to make us question. Because he's at war with Jesus. And only through Jesus can we win. We cannot beat him by ourselves. You may be strong, and you may be tough, and you may be learned, and you may be rich, you may be good looking, whatever, and you may be tall. And all these things that you may be, you can't beat the devil by yourself. Question was answered in the second chapter of Acts, verse Acts 38 and following. Repent and be baptized for the forgiveness of sins, and you shall receive salvation, the gift of God, and the Holy Spirit will be upon you. Then we're the minority. If we're fighting the devil, he's the majority. Excuse me, Dwight. We're the majority. We're fighting the devil, he's the majority. We've got God on our side. We've got Jesus in our life. We're now the majority. Think about that as a decision.